Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Rachel. And on your bulletin too, on the front of your bulletin, I did put Romans 12, 9 to 11 there. So through the week, if you ever feel down, questioning, feel free to pick that up, your bulletin, and look at it. And then maybe you might decide, hey, I should check inside and see what's happening. I'm just teasing. You can. Look inside, though. But there is one thing I did forget before we get into the sermon. It is Brandon's birthday on the 30th, but I don't know if it's little Brandon or big Brandon. So, big Brandon? Oh, okay, little Brandon? Okay, his birthday is coming up on the 30th. Philippians 4, 7, and 9, we've kind of been stuck here for a little bit. Not really stuck, but purposely placed here by the Lord. And I did put for a heading too, we're going to think a little more. So we are going to use our brains again today, and hopefully every day we use them. But I thought that Romans 12, 9 to 11 specifically really went with this, but as well, Romans 12, 9 to the verse just left me where it ended. 21. Yeah, it fits well with what we're going to be talking about today. So I do want to read to you as well Philippians chapter 7. Philippians, there is no chapter 7, so don't go there because you won't find it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. I want to read with you again. I know each week we do this and it's good for us. So if you have your Bibles again, I'm reading from ESV today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So last week, from verses 8, we talked about what is pure and what is just. But before we do, Let's pray together again. Father, I just thank you again that we have this opportunity to study and look at your word, and that we are here. And let us not take that for granted. And remember how blessed we are, as other countries do not have the ability to sit the way we do, so openly, and having buildings that we can come to gather together, to grow together, to learn together, and to fellowship together. And I thank you for that. And I just ask again that our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds would be opened as we study this together and as we partake together in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to go over a little bit from last week, and if anyone wasn't here, you'll get a little tidbit of it. I talked about how just is in regard to others and pure is in regard to ourselves. And when we talk about just, we can see it here in Philippians 4:8, and it says, whatever is just, and then whatever is pure. And they kind of coincide, they kind of go together, just and then pure. So think about whatever is just, and then as well you'll be able to add that to your own life to think about what is pure. Do we show the grace of God in actions and words to others? This is talking off of just. If our thoughts of our unsaved neighbors are unjust, and then how we treat them will come out in our own words and how we act towards them. Train your minds to think just thoughts. When we think about God's justice, it makes it possible for us to sit with our unsaved neighbors and share the good news of Christ. It makes it more complex. It makes it more attainable for us to sit with an unsaved person to share the love of Christ when we understand the love of Christ for ourselves, because we see how just God is in what and how he deals with us and dealt with us by showing us his Son. We have no need to judge our unsaved brother or an unsaved person or an unsaved neighbor, I should say, because they have been judged by God. So we need to understand the grace of God for ourselves so that we can share the grace of God and the good news with all man, with all the world. So we must make sure that our minds are thinking just thoughts, and not only in that matter, but as well with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're thinking just thoughts of them. As I said last week, I talked about how sometimes we may have a thought of someone right away that is not just as soon as that person, not as soon as, let's say someone slips up and says something they shouldn't say about you to someone else. And it's not that they were desiring to say that thing about you, but sometimes when we hear about that, we may think, oh, right away that they were against me and they wanted to destroy me. But that shouldn't be our first thought of a brother and sister, that their desire is to destroy you. So we need to make sure that we're thinking just thoughts of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when we understand the love of each other, we will be able to share the love of Christ with others and not be so quick to judge our brothers and sisters. So pure was the other thing we talked about last week. We have easy access to internet and the media and many different things, and we have easy access to see things that we shouldn't see. We have easy access to see things that can be beneficial and helpful to us. This morning we watched Charlie as he scrolls through his phone with scripture. There are news articles that we can look at to find out what's going on around the world, messages that we can get from friends and neighbors around the world or family members. There's blessings to having media, phones, internet. There are blessings to it. Can it be used wrong? Yes, it can be. So we do need to make sure that we're watching what we're looking at with our eyes, what we're hearing and how much time we spend listening to it and how much time it infiltrates our lives matters. So, we need to think pure thoughts. And in order to think pure thoughts, we need to have pure things going in. So we need to make sure we spend as much time as we can in the scriptures and hearing from teachers that are sound in word, and that is in word here. So we need to make sure that our thoughts then are pure in how and what we're listening to. And then last week, Warren Wiersbe made a really good statement that I brought up that he said that I'm going to use as we go through the rest of this too today. And it said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And the last part, I think, is the most important of this whole thing, which, I mean, it ends with character, so clearly it is. But sow a thought, reap an action. And just think about it that for a second. Your right thought, sow an action, so physically outward, then reap a habit, something that you do often. Sow a habit, so the thing that you're doing, that habit that's happening, reap the character. And we do want to present ourselves as people who have a character that has been changed from that old character, a new character, I should say. We have a new character because of the work of Christ on us. And then sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we can think that the work of Christ is instant, and then there's instantaneous, and they never do anything sinful, and we're perfect forever, and that's not true. There is perfection that we strive for, and the Lord is doing a work all the time with us. He's teaching us, leading us, caring for us, and that's where the body comes in, because we work together in unison. Because we all have abilities that can help each other and work together so that we can grow to understand God and know that His kingdom is coming and that He will be coming one day, so we grow together, strong together. As a sword, double-edged sword, we've talked about before, everyone, I mean, I'm sure you've read it in Scripture. But something that I never really thought about too is a double-edged sword. If it was to pierce, one of the teachers of the college was talking about this, and he said if it was to pierce, if you just had a regular sword, blunt edge, I don't know what they're called. Anyways, if it went to pierce in, it would cut on the one side smoothly and perfectly, but not the other side. And he said with a double-edged sword, it cuts perfectly both sides, and it's like an opening, like a mouth. And that it does pierce good. And that's what the Word of God does, is that it does pierce us if we would study it and read it and depend on it. It would make a perfect cut within us. So now, we're still going to be thinking, but even in our thinking, we are needing to put this in action in our lives. There'll just be two points that I'm going to get to. And it's thinking about what is lovely, which is the Word here itself in here. And then thinking about whatever is commendable. Some of your scriptures may, translations may say, of good report. So one point we'll be getting to is think about what is lovely. And then the second one, think about whatever is commendable or of good report. So let's start with the first one. Think about whatever is lovely. And this is from Philippians 4:8. The word lovely, as I studied through this, is only found in the New Testament in this spot. And the meaning of lovely itself, to try to make it the best ability for us to understand, whatever is adapted to excite love and to commend the one who does such things. I just want to say that one more time. Whatever is adapted to excite love and to commend the one who does such things. Lovely. Another meaning to go along with this, just to add to this, is beautiful and attractive. So love is lovely, not love. Lovely is beautiful and attractive. Right? So if we adapt that to ourselves and our own lives, That love will be excited within us. And then in return, people will see the love that we have because of a life that the love of Christ for us. When our minds are lending to what is of bad report, or if you have critical, if you have it yourself or have a critical attitude, we need to let whatever is lovely be the gates of our minds. In doing so, I believe then our love will be genuine. Just like in Romans 12:9, just on the first part of it, we must let love be genuine. Those are very strong words. Let love be genuine. Because you can fake things. I'm sure we've all done it before. Or a fake smile. Or maybe you give somebody a hug, but you really didn't want to hug them. We can be fake as people. And sometimes it happens. But without the Spirit of God, we will not be fervent in our love. We will not be fervent in our love. I've been reading through, and I've read through probably quite a few times, this book that I've brought up to you, To Do With Others, to do with what Philippians is speaking of. And it's from Reverend Herbert Peeler's book. And I want to read a piece of it to you. Entertaining ideas or imagining things that lead to a sour or critical attitude would be ruled out by this word, lovely. When we have the mind of Christ, we think about those things that radiate love, things that produce and maintain harmony in the church rather than those things that cause resentment and strife. I would like to read that one more time to you. Entertaining ideas or imagining things that lead to a sour and critical attitude would be ruled out by this word lovely. When we have the mind of Christ, we think about those things that radiate love, things that produce and maintain harmony in the church rather than those things that cause resentment and strife. I love this statement from this book. It really does just focus back on ourselves. It takes it and points it right at us and says, are we thinking about what is lovely? Do we respond with grace towards our brother and sister when they may slip up? Are we willing to forgive? Or do we forgive and then hold it over them? But if we took and put at our gates whatever is lovely, it would help us in our actions and responses towards brothers and sisters and towards everyone within the world. Let love be genuine. We must let it be genuine. Again, I want to say this again, what I said to you before. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. I love Philippians 1:9, since we're in Philippians. Philippians 1:9. If you would all flip there with me. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Abound more and more. Gleaning knowledge that is godly, not worldly knowledge that produces death. And as well, seeking discernment toward what is lovely and of good report will give understanding and seeking to know the will of God. You can see a little bit more in Colossians 1:9 to help you with that. But Colossians 3:10 states, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Colossians 3:10. I'm going to read that again. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. That's what we do. We have a new self. We have a new image. We are new creations in Christ. When we are seeking to sow a thought, it will become a character. There's no two ways about it. It's going to happen. But what kind of thoughts are we sowing? Are we thinking about what is lovely? Another piece I want to read to you guys, to all of you, is from Reverend Hebert's book as well. Reverend Herbert Peeler. There we go. It says, and this really got me thinking for myself. I know I've read it a few times, but this time it really did. In your next church business meeting, or the next time your family must work through a domestic problem, try thinking about those aspects of the situation that preserve love, rather than perpetuate conflict. Major on that which endears, that which charms. More problems are solved with cultivated Christian minds than with caustic Christian tongues. I know the Lord decided to use this with me this morning. I don't know how well I did with it. We were trying to figure out some stuff this morning. The Lord knows what we need and when we need it. But I do believe that our tongue, and I do believe that we all know, that the tongue can easily say blessings about the Lord and then the next moment destroy the person beside us. And we need to tame the tongue. We need to look to the Lord to have control of our tongue. But that really spoke to me. Because we're going to have a church business meeting. It's going to come up again. We have a congregational meeting coming up. We have some things to decide on together as a congregation, to come together with one mind. But we need to come together not with our own opinions, but with the mind of Christ. And I just love this last part that he said. More problems are solved with cultivated Christian minds than with caustic tongues. Yeah. Have the mind of Christ is of utter importance. So that we, not us just pointing at someone, we do nothing from rivalry. There we go. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's from Philippians 2:3, which we've read over a few times. So then we love one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another and showing honor. That was as well what Rachel read with Romans 12:10 today. So some application to do with lovely. Ask yourself, do you seek to radiate love, or are you more willing to perpetuate conflict? And you know what? As I say that, you may not even know that you perpetuate conflict. That's why we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, am I thinking lovely things? Am I thinking lovely things about others? Do I do this? Do I actually do it? Have I ever even thought about it? So, do you seek to radiate love, or are you more willing to perpetuate conflict? Seek the Lord on that for yourselves. I know I will. So think about whatever is commendable. Or of good report is our next one. The ESV talks about commendable. The King James talks about whatever is good report. I kind of want to give you a few meanings here to understand this a little bit better. It helped me. It took me a bit, actually, to get this through my head the other day, too. Commendable is to do with something that is worthy of being applauded or praised. Admirable and praiseworthy. I'm going to repeat that again. Commendable is to do with something that is worthy of being applauded or praised, admirable, praiseworthy. So, bringing order and proper structure in the public worship of the gathering of believers is commendable. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but hopefully it will come a little bit. It took me a bit to figure this out. Warren Wiersbe stated that good report, so now this is off good report, commendable good report, it's pretty well the same thing. Warren Wiersbe states that good report means anything that is worth talking about or appealing. The believer must major on high and noble thoughts, not the base thoughts of this corrupt world. That's why the lovely thing, right? The pure thing that I talked about last week, if we're bringing what is pure into our minds, it's going to help us to then do this as well. Because all these different words in 8 to do with what is true, whatever is honorable, I think it's up there behind me, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, all these things are laid out there and they just pile on each other to help us to grow in the Lord. Because our minds are set on Him instead of set on the things of the world. When we sit and have the TV on and just have it playing, I don't know if you've ever done this before. I have. And you kind of just, there's times you just, I just want to watch something and just let my mind kind of, whatever, relax. There's not always bad things with turning on the TV and watching it. That's not what I'm saying. But when we just let it play and we don't filter what's being presented to us, we can leave with a different attitude after we're done spending that time watching TV. And it's the same thing with books and reading or spending time with the people that we're around as well. We need to think about those things and think, how do we do this? So again, stated that good report means anything that is worth talking about or appealing when we speak it. The believer must major on high and noble thoughts, not the base thoughts of this corrupt world. So when we spend lots of time on media or on the news feeds, we can easily be corrupted in our thought pattern on how we may come together as the congregation, or when we come together as the congregation, what we talk about, what we bring to each other, how we uplift each other, because we should desire to encourage each other. I know I can do this too. I can come and I can start talking about a situation and I go, why did I bring that up? I shouldn't even have said anything. I should have said something else encouraging with the scriptures that I've been studying. As believers, we must have the character that aligns with what is of good report. This first starts in our minds, for ourselves, in our own minds, because we can't have a character of good report if we don't have actually a mind that is set on the goodness of God. So this first starts in our minds, so that we do not open the gates of negative, questionable reports that produce suspicion and jealousy, bitterness and hatred. We must not let those things into our mind, so then we will not say them. So in the gathering of the brethren, in the public worship, there should be nothing from the mouth, anything that would give credence to scandal and take the focus off devotion of God. So this morning we've come together, we've joined together, and we're giving praise to God for His glory and for His worth, and as well we're going to partake together. So our focus and everything that we do must point to His goodness and devotion to Him, so that the focus is not off of His goodness, which I believe that we're doing well with this morning, I hope, in the sense of the presentation that is happening, that the Lord has brought through music and through this time in Word. I want to give you a little more understanding, because I'm going to use Reverend Herbert Peeler's book again. And he said, there are too many rumor mongers. If the guard to the ear gate is not alert, they will slip in to open the gate to negative, questionable reports. Does nothing to produce suspicion, jealousy, bitterness, hatred. Now he quotes 1 Corinthians 13, 4-6, which I'm sure you've heard a few times. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Then he goes on to say, this is Herbert Peeler here, An openness for evil report must come from another source. It will not be welcome where the warm hand of love is on the door. So we need to make sure that the mind, our minds, are thinking about what's coming in. We all know that there are rumors that get spread so easily and so quickly. I want to give you just a little example of a situation that happened to me that I thank the Lord it happened. He planned it that it would. But I was with a man. I'm going to call that man. His name is Bob, and I'm going to call the other guy Carl. That's not their actual names. When I was talking with Carl, I was on my way into a place. It was actually into the hospital. I was on my way in, and he stopped me. This is Bob, and he started talking to me, and he was telling me all these different little things here and there. And then he started to move on to this man named Carl. And he started to tell me about Carl, and it went on and on and on. It went on for quite some time about all the negatives towards Carl. And at the end, I said, I've never had this dealing with this man named Carl ever. But I wish I would have said, it's enough. I'm leaving. I'm done with this. You're just destroying this man. And it was to my own shame that I didn't, but I know now that I don't want to do that again. My desire is not to. And I didn't say anything negative about Carl when I was in the conversation, but his desire was to destroy this man. But I could have left there thinking, is it true? Maybe it is. Maybe this man is what they're saying. People can really twist things. I can, we can, when we don't watch how we speak of others. It's not that you can't talk to others about truth that you know so that you can warn others of situations. There are ways to do it. But we all know when someone is trying to destroy someone. There is a big difference. So we need to be careful and we need to keep our minds guarded. Philippians 1:27. We're coming close to an end here. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I want to say this again. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Matthew Henry stated something like this, whatever is lovely and whatever is commendable, that is, whatever displays a pleasing manner, that will represent us precious and make us well spoken of as well as thought of by others. I want to say that once more. Whatever is lovely and whatever is commendable or good report, as we've talked about, these two words, lovely and commendable, that is whatever displays a pleasing manner, that will represent us precious and will make us well spoken of as well as well thought of by others. Application with this. With what is commendable and as well with what is lovely. Do you seek to give a good report in the public gathering of worship or in any gathering? Or do you seek to disrupt devotion to God in the lives of his saints by spreading negative reports? Do you welcome negative and questionable reports? I talked to you about my own self, what I was doing. Take control of your mind, or what I did in that time. Take control of your mind. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Remember the battle line? When you think about a battle with warriors, they hold fast until the right time. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. That's again from Romans 12, 9 to 11. Something Rachel and I have talked about often is, can we outgive the Lord? We can't. And Romans really gives us an example Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. But abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Live a life that will sow a thought, reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a character, sow a habit, reap a character. Let's just pray here again before we move into communion. But I do want to say this as we move into communion. Now that we've talked about all this, the Lord knows our hearts and our minds, and He knows what we're going through, and He knows that we have been put in whatever situations we're put in because He wants to teach us and lead us and guide us. So now, as we come into communion, like I said, let us partake together as brothers and sisters in Christ, not holding an offense or unforgiveness with our brothers and sisters. And if we do have, we need to make sure that we go to them. But we're going to partake together, remembering Christ's death and what He did for us, and that time that we will one day partake again with Him in His holy realm. So let's just pray before communion happens. Father, I just thank You again for this opportunity. I thank You for these scriptures. I thank You that we can think about what is lovely and commendable and of good report, that we can love each other, that we can express love towards one another, that we can watch what comes into our minds, that we can watch what comes out of our mouths by looking to You for strength and help in those areas. And I just ask that we would think before we partake in communion today, and that we would partake rejoicing as well when we do, remembering Your death, Your resurrection, and Your work on the cross, and how good it was. And again, I thank You for each person that's here and this opportunity that we have been blessed with right now to be able to partake in communion. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say one last thing. Right after communion, we're going to do another offering to do with the Benevolent Fund. So just to let everyone know. To the wrong side.